All right, if you have young people in your lives, whether they're millennials, whether they're teenagers, you're constantly watching them, and their tastes seem to ebb and flow, and you can't keep things straight. And that's why sometimes you have to call in the experts. Melanie Schreffler has been, she's an expert on youth culture and mindset. She has studied millennials and Gen Z for over a decade. She's the Senior Insights Director for the Cassandra Report, and she joins us now on WGM. Melanie, thanks for taking some time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's my pleasure to be here.
Let me ask you first off, because I've been wondering, since I started preparing for us to talk, what is Gen Z?
Gen Z is the generation that is coming up after millennials. They were born 1997 to present, so they're currently teenagers age 19 and under.
Ah, okay. And they have become big consumers. We know that, whether it's online or everything else. So it's important for brands to start studying what they're into so that they can hopefully retain them as they get older. Is that the key?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Gen Z has been making their own purchases for a number of years already. They're already savvy consumers, and they have a significant amount of money at their disposal, whether that be their parents and their grandparents who are giving them a bit of money, or the money that they're earning themselves by actually entering the resale economy.
How many people are we talking about in general between Gen Z and the millennials?
Ooh, I think that we've always said the millennials are the largest generation. Depending on how you slice and dice them, they can be upwards of 75 to 80 million people.
Wow. And that's going to grab the attention of anybody who's trying to sell something to them. And that's where you come in, because you help marketers try to figure out what trends are going on. Now, maybe older generations, people older than the millennials, they look at Black Friday and Cyber Monday as the big time to start their holiday shopping. Is that the same? Are millennials and Gen Z, are they waiting for tomorrow? Are they out at the stores tonight thinking this is the time to start spending money?
It's quite the opposite. As a matter of fact, for these young consumers, really every day is Black Friday, because they can always find a good deal, whether that be online, going to stores, shopping around, using an app. They have so many ways to get a really good price on a purchase that they don't need a special day for such an event. They can do that anytime.
And do they have a negative opinion on days like Black Friday?
As a matter of fact, they do. There is a significant number of Gen Zs and millennials who feel that the culture in their country has become too consumerist. As a matter of fact, 74% of 14 to 34-year-olds feel this way. So they're starting to opt out of holidays like Black Friday because they're taking a stand against that sort of negative, ugly greed of just having more stuff.
But doesn't that seem to go against what you said before, that for them every day is Black Friday, where they're always trying to find deals, they're always buying things?
Sure, sure. But that's when they buy something that they need, whereas Black Friday really is sort of a time when people buy stuff just to buy stuff. It's really an event of purchase, as opposed to, I need something today, I'm going to find a good deal on it, so I'm going to go this way and buy at this store.
So is that the mindset of those generations when they're making purchases? It's more need-based than just want-based? Because I have a 20-year-old daughter, and we have this conversation a lot, need versus want.
Sure. There's always trade-offs. There are certain things that they want, but they also have a price point in mind, and they will wait for that price point to hit. This is a generation who's been a really savvy consumer. They've been buying, like I said, for a long time, and so they know what something is worth. They know when they're going to get a good deal. As a matter of fact, they're also turning to apps that actually help them find these good deals. Services like, for example, Parabus, which is an app that uses an algorithm that helps them, when they make a purchase, make sure that they're getting the best price on it.
Is it one of those comparative apps? It's saying, well, you could go to this store and it'd be this cheaper. How does that work?
It's a very cool system. It actually looks at the purchase that you've made when you make that purchase and watches the price for the next certain amount of time, up to about a month. And if there's any sort of refund that is available based on the price that you bought and that price dropping, that app will automatically file for the refund for you. You don't have to do anything. It's sort of a set it and forget it mentality. And then the refund price just ends up back into your account at Parabus.
Well, that doesn't sound bad at all. Anybody can use it. You don't have to be a Gen Z to use this, right?
Not at all.
Old man like me can jump on Parabus and start finding good deals?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. All right. I read one of the stats as I was preparing for today. It said that 48% of U.S. youth and a higher percentage, 59% of trendsetters, think that the traditional holidays are becoming over-commercialized. I think most people, that's not a generational thing. I think most people would agree that the holidays are becoming overly commercialized. What what maybe sets those two generations apart from, you know, Gen Xers and things like that, who also feel the same way?
Sure. What's really different about millennials and Gen Z is they're actually taking a stand. They feel that it's sort of on their responsibility to make a statement about what is and isn't right as a consumer. And so we're seeing a lot of Gen Zs and millennials say, I'm going to opt out of Black Friday. I'm not going to go shopping. I'm not going to be suckered into this type of a holiday. And then they actually really appreciate it when brands take this same stand with them. So, for example, when we're asking young consumers who was the most socially conscious, responsible brand that they could think of, tons of them said REI specifically. It was the number one response that we got.
Because they're doing the whole thing about being closed tomorrow and saying their employees should be outdoors and everybody should be outdoors.
Precisely. Precisely.
So does that translate then into increased sales for these brands by these consumers? Or are they just, are they giving you an answer that says, hey, we think that's really cool that REI and all these other stores are not opening and buying into, they're not opening on Thanksgiving, they're not buying into Black Friday. It's great to have admiration for these brands, but are the brands reaping the benefits?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, because they have such a positive perception of these brands, that very significantly increases their brand loyalty. So when it comes time to buy outdoor equipment or workout gear, that is one of the first brands that they'll think of and go to that store when they have a need.
So if brands are, some brands are probably resistant to this. They're, well, these people are young. Maybe they don't have the kind of income we're looking at. When you talk to these brands, what age should they start targeting? And that sounds so devious, to target potential customers, but how young is too young, or when do they start?
Sure. Well, you know, due to the advertising deregulation that occurred around 1981, really this is a generation, both millennials and Zs, who have been targeted with advertising basically from birth. Mm-hmm. So whether that's good or that's bad, that is the case. So they're actually learning to be very smart consumers from a young age. They talk to their parents about what they're buying. They do have conversations with their parents about money and what is and isn't worth the price. Just like you said, you're having conversations with your daughter about need versus want. The same thing is going on with families across the country. So they are learning to be savvy consumers from a young age. As far as when is it right, you know, they are spending their own money, you know, as young as 10, 11, 12. They've told us, we do research with younger consumers that age as well. They tell us that they have money that they are spending. So if you want to talk to a consumer who is making purchases themselves based on their own decisions, that is probably an age that you could go as young as to talk to that consumer and help develop their opinion from a young age.
How has social media changed how these brands are targeting their customers?
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, it's so critical to be on social media as a brand. But social media has to be more than just a platform to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, that's probably one of the number one changes in the mentality around young consumers. They don't look at brands as just companies that sell stuff. They look at brands as companies that provide entertainment, provide fun, help them become better versions of themselves, whether that be through life hacks or, you know, style tips. They really do look for brands to help them become better people. So keeping that in mind when you're creating social media marketing or really any kind of marketing messages in general, it's important to keep that perception of how are you going to help the consumer more than just to give them a product to buy. What else can you do for them?
And does that play into campaigns, especially now the country's so divisive and a lot of social issues, not only staying in the forefront but resurfacing again because they're being brought up? How much do the millennials and Gen Zs look at these brands and how they stand on the issues? You know, is that important to them to say, all right, X brand supports this cause that I believe in, or they stand up against this sort of behavior?
Definitely. It's incredibly important. As a matter of fact, young people are nearly twice as likely to say that brands can have the greatest positive influence on culture and society compared to a government official or a politician having a positive influence on society. So they really do look up to brands as having a significant amount of power in the world, and they want them to use that power for good. And I know that it probably sounds silly to think about any brand could take a social stance and make a difference, mm-hmm. but it actually has gotten to that point where just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I noticed Morton Salt came out with a new ad campaign. Basically, their new platform is Walk Her Walk. which mm-hmm. is based on a little girl on the Morton Salt container.
Yes.
And they put out a beautiful video with the band OK Go. And if you watch the video, you wouldn't have a clue that it's actually any sort of marketing as you go through the video. And it's really talking about how one moment can make a big difference. And that's their whole campaign, is they're saying, think about, you know, each moment in the day, you know, are you using it wisely? Are you making the world a better place? Because small things, just sharing good vibes, can really make a difference in the world. So even a brand as commoditized as table salt right. can actually be a part of this type of campaign. So it's really important for brands to use that power that they have to make a positive difference in the world.
Well, and I know I had never heard of Tom's Shoes until, you know, a few years ago when my daughter discovered that, you know, there you buy shoes and they give a pair of shoes, and that became, you know, a big thing for her. And then she did a shoeless walk through Tom's and all this other stuff. So they are paying attention, and the responsibility on these companies then and their marketing team has switched a great deal. The smart ones are adapting. Are other ones, who's the biggest failures you've seen so far? People who just aren't getting it. We're on social media. We want to attract younger customers, but we're just not doing it right.
Sure. You know, actually, I can think of any number of luxury brands that have been having significant struggles of late because they haven't changed their tactics in any way. They're really marketing from the angle of exclusivity
mm-hmm.
and I have this, but you don't have this, so that makes me special. And really, that goes very much against this, you know, positive vibe mindset that young people are looking for. They really look for brands to help them be inclusive, whether that be inclusive of other people based on race, gender, religion, sexual orientation. They look for brands to reflect those values. And if you're not reflecting that value of inclusivity and open-mindedness that they value so highly, then as a brand, they're going to stop paying attention to you and stop buying from you.
And with as many people, as you said, are in these generations, that could be a death sentence for any sort of company.
Absolutely.
All right, one last thing before I let you go, because I found this fascinating, that youth aged 18 to 34 they spend almost 80% on food and beverages, and that to them is their luxury. Looking at purchases like that is their big luxury item.
Absolutely. It's so funny because I think that if you talk to most boomers and Gen Xers, they just don't understand why young people are spending so much money on food. They really do spend an outsized portion
yeah.
of their disposable income on food. And it is. It is a luxury to them. If you think about buying an $8 green juice or a mushroom tonic, it sounds so weird. Right?
Yes, but it does.
But it actually serves two really interesting aims. Number one, it gives them something to be a part of. It's something they can share with other people because, you know, at any given time, somebody can likely afford an $8 green juice and be part of that trend and feel part of the group that's doing this. So that makes it an inclusive luxury. It's also something that they can share on social media. It looks cool a lot of times. And then also, it also provides self-betterment. It makes them feel like a better person. They're not putting junk food into their body. And it definitely reflects their personal identity, showing that they are on top of, like, the cool trends that are going on, whether that be a raindrop cake that's really beautiful to show on Instagram or a Japanese-style crepe that almost acts as an accessory in their lives.
Uh-huh. It's
amazing.
But
they want to be seen with it.
Well, sure, because nothing happens if you didn't post it on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. Listen, I understand. I understand all of it. Melanie, I really appreciate the time. Melanie Schreffler is the Senior Insights Director for the Cassandra Report. You can find them at Cassandra.com or at Cassandra Report on Twitter. And you can follow Melanie Muses on Twitter. Very nice you mentioned us on Twitter. That was terrific. We appreciate your time today and all your insights that you shared with us. Have a great rest of your Thanksgiving. Thanks, Melanie.